as saints, we're all in this together. Part one continued. Didn't get quite through it all last week because we did communion, so we'll continue on. And that's the beauty of verse by verse Bible teaching. We just pick up where we left off. And what is this concerning? Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we know, it's his story, history, his story, the story of Jesus Christ and all that you have done into and through him as you set it all up in the Old Testament for him to come as our Savior, for him to be raised from the dead as our Lord. And he now serves not only as our Lord, but our High Priest, as we have become a priestly people to you, Father, prepared and made holy through your Holy Spirit, because your word says, be holy for I am holy. And we thank you for that. And we know that means set apart for you and your service. And so we lift this all up to you. And Father, we pray that our hearts are prepared to hear this message today, that you empty us, as the song said, and to fill us overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And Father, may we not be just hearers of the word, but may we apply it to our lives as doers of the word, as that's what glorifies you as we walk in the Spirit and live in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, well, we're going to be in Romans 15, 17 through 24 as we continue our teaching in the book of Romans. Romans 15, 17 through 24. So last week, Paul's ministry is an example to us regarding the grace and the power of God as he was ordained as an apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that he could present them as a priest unto God as a living sacrifice. That's what his ministry did. As we're going to learn today, he went and taught the full gospel. It isn't enough just to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but once they have come to Christ, they also are to be warned or exhorted and taught and to be made holy, if you will, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit as they follow Jesus. And he says, if you follow my teachings, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So we're going to see more about that today, fully preaching the gospel. So as a priest, he would offer them up through Jesus, the Holy One, as we are saints, and saints belong to the Holy One, through whom we're forgiven, whom we're justified, whom we're declared holy, and we're sealed and set apart and prepared for godly service by Christ's Holy Spirit that lives in us. We're saints, saved and inspired not to sin, because Christ is in us. And we have a new life, a new nature, the one focused on Christ. As we are now consecrated, which means we're committed to God and reconciled through Christ Jesus to God the Father to be doers of His will, which is what following Jesus is all about. You don't follow Jesus sitting on your laurels and living in this world. You follow Jesus by being led by the Spirit and walking in Christ. We are in this world, but we're not of the world. Thus, believers are saints. As we are consecrated, sanctified, and priestly people set apart specifically to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. And thus becoming a living sacrifice ourselves, as it talks about in Romans 12:1. But also, we then in our priestly function present others to God to become saints through sharing the gospel of grace, which is the message of the light of the world. And that's what we're to give to this dark and dying world, to be a light like a city on a hill, lighting up this world, this dark and dying world, and showing them the way, the truth, and the life, which is in Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's what last week was about. Today, as the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul would fully preach the gospel, meaning he discipled them through word and deed, using his spiritual gifts, to make them obedient to the faith, obedient to Jesus Christ, via or through the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and read Romans 15, 17 through 24 and see what the Word has for us today, enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, therefore, Paul speaking, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey, and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. So, as an overview of what we're going to talk about when we go verse by verse, obedience to the faith means following Jesus. Paul went to share the full gospel of God so that the Gentiles may become obedient to the faith. What is our faith in? Who is our faith in? But Jesus Christ. And you know, this is proof of our salvation. As Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. As we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and obedience alone, is proof alone that we love Him. You say you love Him with your lips, but how do you demonstrate it with your life? Is it a surrendered life? Or are you just going through the motions? Is it one that's in the world, but you're starting to become part of the world as well, as every day? When you walk out of the halls of the church, these hallowed halls, this holy ground, as Christ meets us here as the guest of honor, may your homes also be holy ground. May that be where Christ is taught and lived out every day as an example to you, yourself, to your spouse, if you have one, and to your families. Because that's what life in Christ is all about. This is living the life. Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and that's not the end of it. It's the life we have in Jesus, and the life that conforms us to the very likeness of Him. That all comes through obedience. It's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Because in order for Gentiles to be an offering acceptable to God, as we read last week, we must be sanctified and made holy by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And this is where discipling comes in. This is where training and exhortation and the fellowship of God comes in, as we love each other through this, as we're all being trained to follow Jesus closer and closer, as we desire to walk in unity with Him, with our consecrated hearts, our hearts that are committed to Him, the heart that is perfect because we have a transplant, a heart transplant that was given to us, and He now lives in the Holy of Holies of this temple, which is where? Our heart. It's our mind that gets us in trouble. It's our mind that's the spiritual warfare ground or battlefield. That's why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, focusing on the things above, and not on the earthly things. And that's what I'm here to do every week, is to preach to you as I preach to myself. Stay in Christ Jesus. He has something better than anything this world can offer. And we are going to be glorified with Him as we're glorified with Him now, as He manifests His life as our life into and through us. That's what we have. In fellowship with Jesus, and our fellowship here today is fellowship with Him and the Father through the Holy Spirit with each other. Amen? Paul termed this fully preaching the gospel, and it included using spiritual gifts. And as we also read several lessons ago about how each person in the body has been given spiritual gifts because each person in the body has a function to perform to make this body whole in Christ. As we're all working together as the body of Christ, knit together in the unity of faith through the love of Christ, each part performing their function to glorify God in this church or whatever church you belong to. It's all done through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we are enabled by the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, godliness, goodness, self-control. But we're also empowered by His Holy Spirit coming upon us, as it came upon Paul, as we're going to see today. The epi power of God. He used these spiritual gifts to do miracles, signs, and wonders as led by the Holy Spirit. And that kept him going to new places, as this was the hope of the calling that God had placed on his life. And you know, each of us has the hope of the calling that God has placed on our lives. And it may not be done through signs and wonders, but it's no less a miracle to perform the ministry that God has given you all to do, because we are all priests in the body of Christ. We all perform a priestly function, as we are all to share the good news of Jesus Christ, not only with our lips, but how we live. And maybe He's given some of you the gift of help, some of you the gift of tongues, some of you the gift of interpretation, some of you teaching, some of you evangelizing, which is preaching, some pastors and teaching. But whatever that gift is, knowledge or wisdom or whatever it may be, supernatural faith so you can stand against a world that's all coming against you, and even you're threatened to death and you're a martyr. Because what is a martyr? But you will testify to Christ unto death. We're all martyrs. We're all to be martyrs. That's what the Greek word means. To testify of Him to the end. And we endure in Christ, as He's the one that gives us the endurance, gives us the power, gives us the life to be able to do that. And our life isn't about dying in the flesh, but dying to ourselves and living for Him. That's what it means to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Die to ourselves. Because as long as you put yourself first, the work of the cross is going to be hindered. Amen? Our altar is the place of grace, the cross. And we pick it up every day. As He says that we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Spirit of the Son who died for me. That's what our life is about. What a wonderful life He's given us. Don't mean it's going to be easy, but it means it's going to be exciting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people like to ride bikes, motorcycles for excitement. I like to hang on to Jesus, man. Because you don't need a helmet. You might wear eye protection, though, so people don't poke you in the eye. But Paul knew the calling of God. I pray each and every one of you knows your calling. And it may change throughout life. Mine in the beginning was to support missionaries, and then to do missionary work with Calvary Missions, and then to be raised up as a pastor and do that. So whatever you start with, remember, it's one step at a time. Whatever He gives you, first and foremost, being a godly husband, a godly wife, a godly parent, a godly uncle or aunt or whatever you may be, and then He gives you the rest of the story as you walk in His Spirit and the grace of God comes upon you, and He gives you that enlightenment of what you're to do next. And sometimes it's just through one verse in the Bible that will give you a whole vision for your life, or at least for that season in life, as we're going to talk about later today. So, His calling was to fulfill the hope He had in Jesus and to complete the work begun in and through Him. And we know that the hope in Jesus is faithful. We know that He is faithful, and He will complete the work He's begun in us and through us. Paul called this to preach the gospel fully, preaching the entire good news of Jesus and warning every man and discipling them. Colossians 1:27-29 says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. The full gospel, Christ is in us. God's sovereignty and human responsibility comes together in the full gospel, the way, the truth, and the life, which gives us the hope of glory. The full gospel, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. All right, well, let's go ahead and look at our verse-by-verse, verses 17 through 21 have subtitled this, Our Example. Paul glories only in what Christ has done through him. Verse 17, Therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus, in the things which pertain to God. And what we got to understand is, what does glory mean? Glory means the manifestation of Christ who is formed in your consecrated heart. You want the glory of God? You want the glory of Christ? It means you are manifesting Christ as your life. That's the only glory that comes from God. Because otherwise, it's your me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. And that's no glory at all. So, Christ being formed in our consecrated hearts, and we're transformed, as I said, by the renewing of our minds from the inside out as Christ lives in you. Thus, the glory of Christ Himself shines forth from you as you're conformed in His image. You will manifest Christ as you're conformed to His image, as you follow Him and you're in unity with Him. He will shine forth in your life as the light of the world. And it says, don't put a basket under that light. Walk forward in Him. And how is this done? Well, you'll do the things which pertain to God, just as Paul exampled for us. And what are those? It's the good works given to you to do by God, which were prepared for you beforehand, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. And this is then to fulfill the hope of the calling that God has given you for your life, knowing full well that Jesus is doing it all. Jesus is doing it in, to, and through you. And the problem that we have in ministry is when people start getting full of themselves and they think they're doing it. They take the glory. They become the focal point. And then guess what God does with them? Puts them on the shelf. Because He will not allow anyone to take His glory. He alone is worthy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jehovah God, 3-in-1. Only He is worthy. We are, as Chuck Smith calls it, shovels in His hands. Right? We're here on this earth to do the dirty work. But we're that shovel in the hands of the Master, Jesus Christ. And He's doing it all. And might I say, can you dig that? Hallelujah! Praise God! I hope so. Because that's what our hope in Jesus is all about. So no matter what mundane service He may give you, or you think it's so trivial or so minor, it is for the glory of God, because by doing it, you are going to be conformed to the image of Christ Himself as He's doing it into and through you. And you know, by the grace of God, as you're prepared and trained, if it's His plan, He'll raise you up to do other things. Because we have to first be ready. Because otherwise, it's just like in Timothy. 1 Timothy says, don't lay hands on people too soon. Because it's going to cause them to fall and maybe others to falter. Everybody first comes to the Lord. Oh, they want to be a pastor. They want to be a missionary. They want to do this. Okay, well, first go clean toilets. Do the dirty work. Let's see how you operate in those night seasons. Where's your faith when you think you're all alone? When you can't be, because Christ is in us. Let's see where you're at then. Let's see where you're at when you're at the hospitals and you see the death and dying of people who aren't even saved, and you go and share the word with them and they turn you away. But you know they're not turning you away. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. But you've done your part. You spoke the words of truth and the power of the Spirit and the glory of God shines through you. Whether they accept it or not, it's not up to you. That's through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because there is God's sovereignty, and guess what else there is? Human responsibility. And it don't stop by just accepting Jesus. He has work for us to do because it's going to prepare us to spend eternity with Him. Praise Him. And this good work matures us then in Christ as we further His kingdom by becoming living sacrifices ourselves and performing our priestly duties of then offering up others to God to become living sacrifices by ministering the full gospel to them. And remember that word ministering that we looked at last week is only used twice. Once in Romans 16, and I forget where it's used elsewhere, but we'll get to it. It means to serve as a priest, as in the temple, to offer up sacrifices to God. So we literally are ministering the gospel. We not only share the gospel, as an evangelist you share the gospel, but also as a saint you disciple others to become living sacrifices themselves, wholly surrendered to God. Paul says, imitate those who are imitating Christ. But we always imitate Christ in that. Amen? We don't worship any man save one, Christ Jesus, the God-man. Verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. He says this emphatically. He's not about to boast in anything that's been accomplished either through the word of God or by anything that Christ led, enabled, and empowered him to do. The good deeds. Now again, led is the Holy Spirit will lead you to go where you're to go, when you're to go. How you do it then is you're enabled by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that has grown in you as you have surrendered your life to Christ, and that heart is a fertile ground for His Word, and it flourishes in you, and you have the love of Christ, and all this other stuff flows from that. Peace, joy, faithfulness, godliness, brotherly kindness, brotherly love, self-control. That's enablement. You become like Christ in character. And then, or maybe at the same time, or maybe even before, like it happened in the church of Corinth, you get the power of God that comes upon you and you get spiritual gifting. The spiritual gifts that are required to fulfill the hope of the calling He has for you. And the best news is it says that His gifting is irrevocable. His calling and His gifting is irrevocable. He's given you to use these. Now you may mess up. That's why they have to be irrevocable. They can't be taken away just because you mess up. Because look at the church of Corinth. My old pastor used to call it the naughty church. They did everything. They had these gifts and they were doing all these wonderful things, bringing attention to themselves and doing all these different things, but it wasn't bringing glory to God. Did He take away those gifts? No, but did He discipline them? Yeah. Why? Because He loved them and loves them still as they're with Him. And we will be with Him too as we're in Christ and He is faithful. He enables us through the fruits of the Spirit. He empowers us by coming upon us. So we have the Holy Spirit coming alongside of us, which is para. He convicts us. We accept Christ as our Lord. He then lives in us, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are produced. The fruit of the Spirit is produced. And then He comes upon us, epi. The power of God comes upon us as the spiritual gifts. And we are then prepared to go forth through what we've learned about the Holy One. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding to go forth and do His will, fulfilling the hope of the calling He's given to each one of us. Paul was led, enabled, empowered to do good deeds. And he wasn't about to take any of the glory from God because that would be stealing. Instead of having the glory of God being manifested in him and through him, he wasn't about to take or steal the glory of God by saying that he did it. Remember what happened to Moses. He was told to speak to the rock the second time. He struck the rock twice. And he says, look what we have to do. Uh-oh. It ain't we at all. It's God. What God does. And he was forbidden from going into the promised land. First of all, Christ was never meant to be struck twice. Only once. He died once for us. Secondly, may we never make ourselves equal with God. no matter what He's doing into and through us. It's all Christ. We may be yoked to Him, and we may say we partner with Him because it's His work, but we know it's Him that's doing it all. I don't know if you guys need that, but I needed it. He keeps us humble. What was Paul's overall ministry to the Gentiles? To share Jesus with them so they could love the Lord with all their heart, mind, strength, and soul. And love one another as Christ loved us. That was the overall ministry, because love is obedience. Love produces obedience, I should say. And what is that but following Him? So, to make the Gentiles obedient means to have them know Jesus and to understand the love that He has for them, how wide, how deep, how long. How wide, how deep, how long. What's the rest of it? There's one more. Deep, wide, long. And the rest of it. For eternity. Right? Praise God. So deep it pulls us out of hell. So wide it includes all of us. So long that it lasts forever. And so great it endures. Huh? So it endures forever. Amen? Let's press on. That's the love of Christ. That we may know and understand that. Verse 19. God empowered him then, came upon him to reinforce Paul's words and deeds and mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit. You know, in the power of the Spirit, the word is dunamis. And it's where we get our word dynamic from. It's dynamic power. It means it changes to meet every situation. It's explosive power like dynamite that just blows people away when they hear the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth about Jesus Christ. And it's power like a dynamo. It just keeps us going, enduring no matter what. And this is the resurrection power of God that He gives us. Not only do we have a new nature, but we have that resurrection power, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us and comes upon us. Praise Him. Paul demonstrated this power, the power of the Spirit of God, as this would demonstrate grace. You know, grace is an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. And this would authenticate him as an apostle to both Jew and Gentile alike, so that from Jerusalem round about Illyricum, God's sovereignty and human responsibility would be preached and brought together, as it's brought together in one place, Jesus Christ and Christ in us. And we are in Him. That's where human responsibility and God's sovereignty comes together. You know, I've heard it said, well, it's like two rails and they never come together. You know, you got God's sovereignty over here, God's will is going to be done. You got human responsibility and they never meet. I say, yes, they do. One place, the cross. It's like ties on a railroad track. You got two rails, they're tied together. Ours is tied together in Christ Jesus as He does it all. He pulls it together for us. As it is then the will of God done in our lives, as He would desire through Christ Jesus, because we have surrendered to Him. And even our faith is a gift from God. Amen? So, God's sovereignty and human responsibility coming together. Then, Paul was enabled and empowered to fully preach the gospel of Christ, Christ in us, to the whole known world. And let's go ahead and look at Colossians 1:27 through 29. As we look at what this means to preach the full gospel, I introduced it here in the beginning, but let's go ahead and look at it a little more. Colossians 1:27 through 29. How deep, how wide, how long, how high. How high is love. I knew it. His love is for us. My wife will edit that so it sounds like I knew what I was talking about at the time. How high His love is. All right, so Colossians 1:27 through 29. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preached, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working. In other words, striving in the Spirit. And we are to strive in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. This indicates the full gospel of Christ contains two parts, as I mentioned. God's sovereignty. The only way is Jesus Christ. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's one gospel. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ. No, not two gospels, but two parts of that one gospel. As Jesus died for our sins, He paid our ransom in full, which is redemption, and He was raised from the dead by God, the resurrection power of God on the third day. The tomb is empty, and He now lives as our Lord and High Priest, saving us to the uttermost as He makes intercessions for us every day, all day long. Secondly, human responsibility. What's our responsibility? Response to the love of God and the ability He gives us is to accept the truth, to believe. Believe means to trust in, rely upon, to be united in Christ Jesus, to repent of our sins and accept Him as our Savior as we confess Him as our Lord. That's our responsibility. As by God's grace, He gives us the faith to believe, and we receive a heart transplant at that moment. We're born again. Ezekiel 18:31 says, "Cast away from you all the transgressions or sins which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit." And it goes on to say in Ezekiel 36:26 through 27, "A heart of flesh, or a tender and consecrated heart, and receive a spirit of obedience." The Holy Spirit is the spirit of obedience. You know, and many stop there, just sharing the truth, and think they've shared the full gospel. But Paul indicates that by the power of God, spiritual gifting, he not only preached the good news of Jesus, but he demonstrated the power of God through being an example. And while we may not have those same spiritual gifts where we can do miracles and produce signs and wonders, it's no less miracle than our life bringing people to know Jesus Christ because they want what we have. The light of the world living in us. And then Him giving us the words to say at the proper time as we're led by the Holy Spirit. And He says, "Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words." So for all you that have all these things memorized, the Roman road and all that, hey, that's great to put it in your library. But may God pull out what He wants when the heart's prepared to whoever you're talking to is ready to hear what He has to say. Because it ain't about what you got to say. Amen. And it may be some drug dealer or druggie like John Duncan, our ex-pastor at Lake Elsinore in California, who just mumbled the words after he heard the gospel, "Please help." And he was changed in an instant. "Please help." God knew his heart because at that moment he had the faith to believe as God gave it to him because he seen that surrendered heart. It is no less a miracle through the gifting to preach or to evangelize the gospel and then to exhort or warn people of our responsibility, the response to the love of God and the ability we have to rest in Him. And that means rest means to abide, to make Him our abode. Where do you rest? You rest at home. You're at home in Christ. You're abiding life as you abide in Jesus Christ. You have made Him your home. You have made Him your life, and that's where you rest. You rest in Him. And to teach the Word, discipling them so that they too can follow Jesus. This is the life we have in Christ. And to merely preach the word leaves Christians saved and wondering, now what? Have you ever been to a church where all they give is a salvation message over and over and over again? And people are just went, "Well, yeah, now what? We'll get saved again." Oh, now you're saved. What do I do? Serve Jesus. Serve God in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you do. Fulfill the hope of the calling He's given you, and He'll let you know what that is. So the answer is you go on to perfection as Christ is in us and He is maturing us as led by His spirit of obedience. As obedience is the product of walking in the Spirit. Remember, He says, "Now therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh." Oh, wow, maybe I'm walking in the Spirit. Or maybe I'm walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit. Well, The Holy Spirit will convict you if you are. You get back where you belong. But trust in Him. There's no condemnation for us because He lives in our heart. Our minds are going to deceive us from time to time, but our heart's in the right place when we've dedicated our life to Jesus. And we walk in the Spirit by resting or abiding in Him and letting Him do it all into and through us, and then we will have the perfect life.
Oh, I can't have a perfect life. I'm just a sinner.
No, you're not. You're a new creation. Perfect life in the biblical sense means having the Spirit-filled life. Having the heart that delights in God. He says if you delight in Him, He'll give you the desires of His heart. Which is the desires, well, will be the desires of your heart. Right? He says, I will give you the desires of your heart. But really, what is it? Exactly, because you're one in Christ Jesus with Him. That's what we delight in. Not getting a new boat. Not a bigger house. Not a new car, maybe. I mean, maybe God wants to bless you with those things. But that's not what you focus on. You focus on what's your desire, Lord. Lord, I desire to have a mission program. I desire to bring kids to church. So what's He do? He blesses you with a van. I desire to have a bigger house so you can have a home fellowship. I desire to have more children. I desire to have more children because it says it's a blessing to have a quiver full. It's the fruit of the womb. It's a blessing to the family because each one is to be trained up in the ways they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart from God. And guess what? That brings glory to God. No better way to glorify God than to raise your children in godly ways in His Word. Because each man is the high priest of his home. Second only to Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? So that's our priestly function. Now I know the world don't want to hear that today, but you know what I think of the world today. It needs to hear it more and more. Hallelujah. Praise God. But He brought you here, so I'm going to keep going. So that doesn't mean the perfect life doesn't mean you're going to live without error or be sin-free, but merely that you're desiring to please God and to live for Him with your whole heart, which is the essence of following Jesus. God gave us an example of this in the Bible. David was a man after God's own heart. He certainly wasn't perfect. He was a fornicator, adulterer, and a murderer. And yet God chose him to bring Jesus through his lineage. Kind of like Jesus was in him. In his loins, as it says in the Word. But we have something David doesn't have or didn't have. Didn't have at that time. Does now. Christ in him. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. So we have the enablement that he didn't have. The Holy Spirit living in us. He had the same power that would come upon him. And he was anointed through that power to do these things. But God didn't throw him away because he made mistakes. He disciplined him and got him back where he belonged. And that's what he does to us. And I like it when he uses that staff where he just kind of like nudges us. Or maybe takes that hook of the staff and pulls us back. I just don't like it when he uses that rod and breaks my legs and have to carry me around his neck while I'm healing. You know, you see that picture of the lamb? I've heard it's like, well, that's because the lamb couldn't walk because it was one of those, they call it fence climbers. It'd climb the fence and get out. He'll do what's necessary. Amen? Because all things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purposes. So, Christ is in us. And you know what? He rested on the rock of His salvation. The Messiah to come. Jehovah is salvation. That's what Jesus' name means. The rock of salvation. Praise Him. Verse 20, I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. His calling was to evangelize all the known world, as far east as Jerusalem and as far west as Illyricum, present-day Albania. You know, Paul didn't want to build on another man's foundation, not because it was wrong, but because that wasn't his calling. His calling was to go out and evangelize and disciple the known world and to plant churches and to move on. If you're a church planter, then you don't stay in one place for a long period of time. You evangelize, you teach people, you raise people up to be disciples themselves as saints, and you move on as you planted that church, and then you stay in contact with them and keep exhorting him as the epistles or the letters Paul would write, 13, 14 if you count Hebrews, and I believe Hebrews was written by Paul. Verse 21, but as it is written, this is where he got his mission vision. There's one verse in the Bible he got his mission vision. To whom he was not announced, they shall see. In other words, the blind will see when the eyes of their heart are open to the way, the truth. And those who have not heard shall understand. And the understanding comes from the knowledge of the Holy One, meaning a personal relationship with Jesus, which brings understanding. And that comes from living the life we have in Jesus. That's the experiential relationship we have with Jesus, the life. So we have the way, the truth, and the life. Two things come by hearing, one comes by doing. All right? He said, don't be hearers of the word only. Be doers of the word. That's what following Jesus means. Personal relationship with him. In closing, Paul won't leave until his work is finished, and then he goes as led. Verses 22 through 24. For this reason, verse 22, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. In other words, he had to finish his work there in Corinth. That's where he's writing this letter from. Prior to moving on, he had to finish that work, fully preaching the gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember what HOPE stands for as an acronym. His obedient people endure to the end. That's the hope of glory that we have, that we're going to endure to the end, and then we'll get a new body. A glorified body. As he says, those who suffer with him will be glorified together with him. So the hope of glory is that's what makes us saints. Our hope is in him who abides in us and we abide in him. Verse 23, but now no longer having a place in these parts, he says, having a great desire these many years to come to you. He wanted to come a long time. Paul wanted to visit him. And it's a great example to us. You know it's your calling to go to a place when that desire doesn't wane. When that desire keeps coming back in your heart. When you try to forget about it, but it won't let you go. That's how you know it's a calling. That's what happened with Paul. He had all these other things to do, but in the back of his mind it kept coming back. Oh, I got to go to Rome. Oh, I got to go to Rome. And Jesus is going to make it clear that he will go to Rome. But it ain't going to be how he thought. It's going to be in chains. So it may not be how we want it, but that's where God's sovereignty comes in. When we surrender our will to him, which is our human responsibility. And then it's going to be all good. Because don't forget, he wrote the prison epistles there in Rome for 2 years. Huh? Paul was walking in the Spirit, so he waited on the Lord. And for the Lord. You wait on the Lord to give you direction. And you wait for the Lord to open the doors to go. Make the timing right. And then to make everything happen so you could go. As he had much to do in the meantime, planting new churches. Verse 24, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey, to be helped on my way there by you. If first I may enjoy your company for a while. So Paul was going to use this opportunity to fellowship, but also to continue fulfilling the hope of his calling, which is to continue his missionary work. He was going to go to Spain, or on his way to Spain, to plant another church, but he was going to stop by Rome and see them so he could have fellowship, he could rest there, and be ready to go on to Spain. So he never forgot what his overall calling was, and everything fit into place to make the hope of that calling take place. Because man makes plans, but God guides its footsteps. And those footsteps may feel like it's climbing uphill, but we got to remember when it's God, it's always on level ground. God says he's going to give it to us on level ground. And so what we need to do is stop our striving. Stop trying to do it ourselves and worrying about why God chose to do it this way, and instead, just go forth and do well in his will. That's what following Jesus is about. Now, it's not clear to me if Paul ever made it to Spain. It doesn't say in the Bible, as far as I can tell, maybe you guys have found it somewhere, that Paul ever made it to Spain. But we do know that he did make it to Rome, as when he went to Jerusalem, he would be imprisoned there due to the Jews falsely accusing Paul of bringing a Gentile into the temple, which he didn't do in Acts 21:28, and it caused a big tumult, big uproar. And the Roman guards had to come find out what was going on, so they took him into custody, so to speak. But you know, this was all part of God's plan too, as Jesus told him to go and testify of him in Rome. Let's turn to Acts 23:11. Just see if you guys are still awake. It's only been an hour and a half. Acts 23:11. Now this is getting the leading of the Lord if you ever got one. I haven't experienced this, but Paul did. It says Acts 23:11. But the following night he was taken into custody by the Roman guards. The following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." When Paul was taken into custody, you think Paul would be all upset and say, "Oh, you know, I got to get out of here." No, he says, "Can you let me go speak to the people?" All the people were trying to kill him and persecute him. The guards let him out to go stand in front of the prison so he could share the gospel with the people trying to kill him. Now that's faith. What is faith? As an acronym, faith is Father Asked, I Trust Him. Father asks, I trust Him who sent Jesus to die for us. Father says, trust Him who died for us, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. It says, I trust Him, God the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and sanctifies us, making us holy as we walk in the Spirit. Because not only have we been declared holy, but He's going to change our lives if we belong to Him. Amen? Whether you're late to church or not. Just kidding. It's where your heart is that's important. It's where your heart is. Hallelujah. So praise God. He would follow. And this was all in accordance with the hope of the calling that God gave Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. Acts 9:15. You don't have to turn there. But right after Paul seen the bright light, and you know, Jesus says, "You know, why are you kicking at the goads, kicking at the sharp stick? You know, I'm piercing your heart. You heard Stephen. Some say he was his cousin. You were holding the coats when they had him stoned to death. But the message stuck in your heart. Why are you kicking at the goads?" And he surrendered his life. What did God do then? What did Jesus do then? He went to Ananias and said, "Go there. Lay hands on him." Ananias says, "Oh yeah, I'll go right away." He says, "Oh, don't you know he's killing Christians?" So what did Jesus tell him? Acts 9:15, "But the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." Paul was going to be taken to Rome to bear witness to the ruler of the whole known world at that time, Caesar Nero. God used the law of the land, where anyone who believed they were falsely accused and falsely imprisoned as a citizen of Rome, which Paul was. See, every detail of Paul's life was set up. That it could be used for God's glory and God's purposes. And I say to you today that everything is set up in your life as a saint. Saved and inspired not to sin. God doesn't waste anything. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart, which is to serve Him. And He will open the doors to serve Him. He will enable you through the fruits of the Spirit that live in you, because Christ is in us, and He will empower you with the gifts of the Spirit, evangelizing, preaching, helps, whatever it may be, to fulfill that hope. Because He first loved us, and He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. That's the hope of the calling we have. And our hope is the glory of God as we fulfill that calling. Hope, His obedient people endure. We endure in Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We adore You. We praise You for giving us the full gospel. Not just the way and the truth, but the enablement and the empowerment to live the life the life you've given us in Christ Jesus. The world, as we walk away from this church today, this sacred ground, this holy ground, that because Christ is our honored guest here, as He says, if two or more are gathered, He is amongst us. As we go out into the world will try to sway us to not only be in the world, but to become part of the world. May we not be swayed. May we not doubt. Oh, blessed saints, may we not doubt. May we believe and trust and rely upon Jesus. And may our heart be fixed on the things above. And may our mind be renewed by being in the Word. Become doers of that Word. Maybe not understanding until we actually follow Jesus. Because He says, if you follow My teachings, then you will know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. I pray that we're all set free this week. Thank You, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.